Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to LombardiAv.com Packers Sports Panel Show. Well, where for the next 30 minutes, we will be talking about everything Green Bay Packers. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Davey Miller, and welcome to the show. Joining me on this special edition sports panel segment is fellow staff writer at LombardiAv.com, Kevin Dickens. Or Gibson, I'm sorry. Kevin Dickens may be joining us as well, but for the moment, we first have up Kevin Gibson. And Kevin, first of all, good morning. Welcome to the show, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Well, good morning, Davey. Same to you. It wasn't a very happy Thanksgiving for me, though, watching that debacle.
Oh, why is that?
Well, the turkey shoot at Ford Field, as it's been dubbed, that was horrible to watch.
Oh, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, even Mike McCarthy, you know, tipped his hat and said, hey, quoting Mike McCarthy, he said, you know, you're in the business long enough, every coach or player gets his ass kicked. And that's exactly what happened on Sunday or against the Lions on Thanksgiving Thursday. But because there's no game today, I thought we would do a little bit of a different format where we normally talk about the keys to the game and what happened last week, and who played well and who did not. What I'd like to do today, as you know, because we've talked about this prior to the show, Kevin, is for our listeners out there, we're going to be talking mostly about Coach Mike McCarthy and his performance for this season, and then also the performance and drafting philosophy of General Manager Ted Thompson. So with that as a backdrop, Kevin, let's first talk about Coach Mike McCarthy, particularly how, from the outside looking in anyway, what he is being perceived as, at least through my eyes, during this 0-4-1 stretch without Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't seem to be as confident as he normally has been. He seems a little shaken, to be honest with you. Borderline indecisive. Am I just being overcritical because we haven't won a game in a month? Or are you seeing that too?
It's tempting to be reactionary because, let's face it, as Packers fans, we're not used to losing like this. So yeah, we're going to be inclined to point fingers. But I think there is some truth in what you're saying. I mean, we can look at the backup quarterback situation, starting with Seneca Wallace and how that all played out. And, yeah, there has been some indecisiveness, it seems to me. You know, he pulled Tolzien mid-game and put in Flynn, and it looks like the right thing to do. But then Flynn walks out there on Thursday against the Lions and clearly is just completely overmatched. This game was just too big for him. So it makes that decision look foolish on McCarthy's part and almost desperate.
Well, in Matt Flynn's – are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, in Matt Flynn's defense, he looked bad. When he had time to throw, he gets tunnel vision onto one target, and he doesn't look off, and he doesn't finish through his progressions. I can think of two plays in particular, one with the tight end Andrew Corliss that even Troy Aikman pointed out, that would have gone for a long gain if not taken to the house. But then another one that he didn't mention was Eddie Lacy was open in the flat, and that could have gone for at least 45 yards, if not, you know, depending on whatever happened down at the end. That could have been another 6 points. They were both wide open. No one within 8 yards of either of them. Flynn gets locked in on his first or second read, and he doesn't continue on.
That was my assessment of him on Sunday.
But then let me say this before you continue on, Kevin. That offensive line gave him no help. They played absolutely terrible, and the Detroit Lions defensive line played exceptional.
Yeah. Well, when Evan Dietrich Smith went out, that was it. The line was done, you could tell. I mean, when you get a guy in there who really is not used to playing center and throw him in there like that with a new quarterback, it's just, there was nothing good that was going to come of that. But you're right, though. Those plays, I noticed those plays as well, and I think Flynn was feeling pressure. The Lions were blitzing him all day long, so he was just trying to get the ball out so he wouldn't take sacks, and he ended up taking quite a few of those anyway, as I recall. But it was just getting back to Mike McCarthy, this is one of those things where I almost get the feeling like he's kind of thrown up his hands in exasperation. This team has been absolutely exposed for what it is, and it's basically a one-man team, and I don't know what he can do about that personnel-wise. So,
we're going to talk about Ted Thompson later and the personnel department, but as you mentioned, staying with Coach McCarthy, I don't know if you're using my words or I'm using your words or what, but I've used those same words, exposed, and I was going to ask you, are we not a one-man team? I mean, I didn't know that. I thought we had more talent than what has been on display, minus Aaron Rodgers. I'm thinking, Nick Perry, Tremont Williams, Sam Shields, Clay Matthews, B.J. Raji, Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Eddie Lacy. I think that's enough talent to win a game without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
but
you think so, wouldn't you?
Not. You would think so, especially during that five-game streak. There was a stretch. There were two teams that at least were winnable games. And Detroit kind of handed it to us, but the other games, Philly, we could have beaten Philly if we had a good day. The Minnesota Vikings. Chicago, I thought, was a winnable game. But
they were all winnable.
The string once Rodgers went out. And then, as we mentioned, Mike McCarthy looks kind of battered and bruised and indecisive. I think the team is emulating that persona.
That's very possible. And I know the defense looked like to me it came out to play. The first quarter it played really hard and played really well. And then once things started falling apart, it's just the defense went with the offense. It all fell apart. They stopped making plays. They stopped
looking.
Yeah. They didn't look energized out there. It was the strangest thing. It was something that permeated the entire field. It seemed like everybody in green and gold just threw up their hands and said, "We give up." It's a shame to watch something like that. It's interesting McCarthy, we come back to this one-man team thing, and, McCarthy and his staff, they invested, 3-4 years into Graham Harrell as the backup quarterback and another 2 to 3 years in B.J. Coleman, and they thought coming into this training camp that those guys were going to be ready to take on a challenge like this. And by the end of camp, they were like, "We were wrong." And that's part of what got us here is that, I don't know who's responsible for that, who should be held responsible, whether it's Ted Thompson or Mike McCarthy or Clements or whoever, but they invested in two guys that just didn't pan out for whatever reason. They thought they could make these guys pro quarterbacks, and they couldn't. And here we are now with Matt Flynn and Scott Tolzien.
Shocked when B.J. Coleman, all 6'5", 235 pound, tremendous attitude, laser arm, B.J. Coleman, that after 2 years at a quarterback school and a couple of OTA training camps, preseasons, that he didn't turn out better than he was. That's when I started questioning the chink or the crack in McCarthy's quarterback guru armor. I'm thinking, my goodness. Then I started looking deeper. You know what? Other than Aaron Rodgers, there is no student out there of Mike McCarthy's doing anything in the NFL. And, 6 days before the regular season, No, we had one quarterback on the roster, Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, we get Seneca Wallace, 33 years old, hadn't played in a year and a half. Predictable, first game, pulls a hamstring.
Yep. He's done.
Then you get a Scott Tolzien. He may or may not be the answer. We're going to talk about him here in a little bit as well. But staying with Mike McCarthy, I want to ask you a question here, but let me continue on with the he looks confused out there. He went on 4-on-4th-and-1 against the Vikings with 5:23 left in the game, down 10. He went 4-on-4th-and-1, and fortunately, Eddie Lacy made it. That was such a high-risk play that if, you know, the book says kick the field goal, take the points, because the clock's your enemy. Another thing, he started wavering, saying, well, you know, maybe we should start giving the backup quarterback more reps during the week. That's something he never did, so now he's questioning a little bit of his practices.
Mm-hmm.
So the question I'm asking you, Kevin Gibson, is Joe Philbin missed more than what we may have thought?
That's an interesting question. I'm going to say no. I'm not going to say that that's the reason here. I think that there's a personnel deficiency. One of the things that I've not seen a commitment to is the offensive line. And, you know, we lost Bulaga, who was our best, you know, our best lineman next to Sitton, perhaps. And we've got a converted guard at center who keeps getting hurt. We got lucky to get Barclay and, you know, Bakhtari. I mean, let's face it, we were lucky. I just remember 10 years ago, remember the offensive lines, Brett Farnhead? Those guys were all Pro Bowlers. And we don't have a Pro Bowler on our offensive line. We just don't. You know, to me, that's something that is causing us big problems. If those guys had blocked better for Flynn, the outcome might have been a little different. So I don't want to hand that to, you know, as a Joe Philbin thing. I really don't think that's it.
Well, okay. And let me give you my thoughts on that, and then I'm going to give you time to respond. Segueing now into Ted Thompson and the personnel. The offensive line as a whole, I think that's the second least attended to position group, because you have to consider they do have two number one tackles that got hurt. So they've invested Brian Bulaga and Derek Sherrard. Those were number one picks. They got Bakhtiari in the fourth round. Josh Sitton, I think, is a Pro Bowler. I think he's an outstanding guard. However, it drops off dramatically after that. I don't even know why Marshall Newhouse has lasted as long as he has.
Yeah.
It looks like this week now, Don Barclay will go inside at right guard, and Derek Sherrard, I'm not saying for sure, but when they come back off of this mini bye, I'm thinking Derek Sherrard probably is going to start at right tackle. But the number one group that I believe Ted Thompson has ignored, and it's a group that supposedly have been the depth of one of the deepest on the team, but it's been exposed, and that is, Kevin, defensive back and safety.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to these numbers, and then I'm going to ask you to respond. We have 7 defensive back and safeties, and 2 of them are now on IR, James Nixon and Casey Haywood. We have 10 on the active roster, 5 cornerbacks, 5 safeties, 2 on IR. Out of those 12 players in that defensive back, cornerback, safety group, 12 players, 7 are undrafted free agents.
Mm.
7 out of 12 in a position group that's supposed to be, you can't have enough of those guys. Burnett is the highest pick, third-round pick. Casey Haywood was a second. House was a third. Then we had 2 fourth-rounders and a 5th. So we've had with our current group of 12 players, we have a second-rounder, a third-rounder, 2 fourth-rounders, a 5th-rounder, and 7 undrafted free agents. talk about a position group that's not been attended to. Your thoughts?
Well, I can't disagree with you. I mean, you know, against all odds, Jarrett Bush is still getting reps on the defense, and I can't imagine.
Well, he's a Marshall Newhouse. He's a Marshall Newhouse on the defensive side.
He is. Yeah, that's a good comparison. But he's a great special teams player, and I salute him for that. But he has no business playing defensive back for in the NFL. He's just, I'm sorry,
no.
I think I could probably go out there and run with him. But, I can't disagree with you. I think the problem here is that in a lot of ways, Thompson has whiffed on some of these picks. You know, it's clear to me McMillan is he's not going to be the guy back there. It's not going to happen. He's just another Jarrett Bush. He's a warm body running around out there looking lost. You know, I mean, I think Hayward was a good pick, but if he's not on the field, then he's not helping us. Let me go through the first round picks. Okay.
Let me go through the first round picks that Thompson's had, and it seems like they've all been injured. Justin Harrell, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Then B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews, he hit on those. That was a good hit on those. Then Derek Sherrard, Nick Perry, and Dayton Jones. Dayton Jones. That's four out of six of first-round picks that are always injured. So, Buddy always hits in the mid-rounds and the late rounds, and he did get Sam Shields. And Tremont Williams for a few years was good, but overall, you just can't keep going to the undrafted free agent, cheap, young market in that defensive back group and expect them to hold up against these bigger, stronger Calvin Johnsons, Alshon Jeffries, and Brandon Marshall, and you know all these guys in our division, Peter Patterson now and Greg Jennings. You know, we need defensive backs, and you can't do that when 55-60% of them are undrafted free agents that 32 teams passed on, you know, a combined 1,000 times each. So
yeah, you're trying to defend them with Sean
Richardson.
You're
going to the well too many times.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what the answer is there because, you know, the salary cap comes into play, and when you've doled out as much money as you have to the guy who's sitting on the bench with a mustache right now, you know, you've screwed yourself. And the thing is, what do? Do you not sign Aaron Rodgers to that big contract? No, you have to. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere or other, you've got to skimp and you've got to hope for the best. And guess what? It's been exposed. He didn't make the right picks. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing we can do about it now in hindsight. But going forward, I agree with you. It seems that we need a little bit more attention paid to the fact that the NFL is a passing game. And here we are with one of the worst defensive backfields in the league, clearly. Something's got to change there. We're not getting as much of a push up front as we thought we'd get with guys like Dayton Jones and Nick Perry. You know, Clay Matthews can't do it alone, and they've drafted two guys in consecutive years they thought would come in there and free up Matthews, and so far they haven't done it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another situation where.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Mike Neal was always injured. When he's been playing at linebacker, he's been really good, I think. But
big, strong guy. But you know, if you look at the big defensive draft of 2012, you know, really only one guy from that draft is really doing much right now, and that's Mike Daniels. You know, the rest of them are either hurt or not living up to their billing or their draft stock, and it's, you know, and that's not to say they won't, but we need help now, and right now it's not happening.
In the bigger picture, I think what we need to really start banging the drum on, and, you know, I mean, Ted Thompson, I mean, he's always got the Packers' best interest at heart. There's no question.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying get rid of Ted Thompson.
I'm not saying
get rid of Mike McCarthy, but another year like this, I will say get rid of Mike McCarthy. I think after the season, we're probably going to part ways with Dom Capers. But, no, I think, you know, Thompson's in place keeping, McCarthy's in place keeping. But here are some things I'd like to do. First of all, in defense of Thompson, you know, I wanted to sign that Alshon Golston, the safety.
Oh,
Well,
yeah.
Well, he's been in legal trouble ever since he went down to Tampa Bay. I wanted to sign Steven Jackson. Well, you know, he ain't done squat, and we ended up with Eddie Lacy. So, you know, Ted Thompson, you know, he makes a lot of right decisions, but, you know, there should start being an urgency. Here's my point, and then you can have your say, Kevin. Sure. The urgency here is this. We're running out of years where we didn't win another Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers at the helm. You know, one of these days, that's going to run out. We've already wasted 5 out of 6 years with him. Looks like this one may be another one. 1 year is because I feel we didn't sign Colin Jenkins. That was a big no sign. Set Ted Thompson, for all the great he does, I think his stubbornness just as much. So, all right, take the floor, take 2 or 3 minutes, say what you want to say.
That's an interesting point, and I agree with the Cullen Jenkins assessment. I mean, I was really shocked that he let Cullen go away, and he has not replaced him. You know, and that's the problem. We're just talking about, you know, Nick Perry. I mean, we just Mike Neal. Those guys are good players, but they aren't always healthy, and they aren't Cullen Jenkins. You know, period.
Well, they are good players, but they're never healthy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to concede that absolutely Ted Thompson knows a heck of a lot more than we do about NFL personnel decisions. But I agree with you. There have been some whiffs, and something has to be done. As you said, some urgency has to be shown to get those mistakes taken care of. I don't know how to do it. You know, that's his job, not mine. That's why he's making a lot more money than I am. But, you know, there are some obvious personnel deficiencies, and we've seen that now, things that Aaron Rodgers somehow managed to single-handedly cover up. But, you know, I think that we've known this was coming all along, because look at how we went out of the playoffs 2 years in a row. Got absolutely blown out by teams that exposed our defense for what it was. And still nothing really got done, you know? I mean, Grant,
well,
yeah,
let's, let me stop
Hayward.
You. Well, let me stop you there, though. We tried, because of the way we exited the last two seasons in the playoffs with the Giants and the 49ers, we made a concerted effort this offseason to get bigger and more physical, and we did do that. But I think what's happening is your Johnny Jollies, after being out of football for 3 years, now he's starting to get these muscle pulls and stuff. I think, you know, I don't know if he can repeat the second half of the season like he did in the first. And I think Ryan Pickett, although they say he is not, I think he's starting to get caught up in the wash one too many times a game. So I think those big mammoth horses on the front line, I think age is starting to catch up with a couple of them. And when you only have a three-man front, that's two-thirds of your front line. So go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, well, someone pointed out that on Thursday, basically when the Packers went to a three-down lineman front, the Lions threw it. When they went to two, they ran it, and they did it all day long. They just waited to see how we lined up, and they just took advantage of it. So, yeah, at some point there's a personnel issue there. If those guys can't make those plays, if they can't adjust, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the problem is on that. It became obvious what they were going to do. We just couldn't stop it.
Well, and again, sometimes, you know, it's like I tell my wife, hey, they get paid on the other side too, and they had a good game. I think Josh Sitton gave them some bulletin board material. Do I think it's right he did it? You're damn right I think it was right he did it. I said it was when he did it. I'm certainly not going to say, oh, that wasn't right now. That would make me a big-time schmuck. But I get what Josh Sitton was trying to do. He was trying to motivate his offensive line. He was putting the hat on himself to say, I'm going to do everything I can to beat the guy in front of me. And I think he was trying to motivate his troops to do that as well. Not that they need motivation, but you know what I mean. And I think the guys on the other side, unfortunately, took that and maybe played a click above because of it. But either way, football is always won or lost in the trenches. And Detroit on both sides of the ball won on Thanksgiving Day.
They whipped our butts on both sides of the ball, for sure. And I agree with you. What Sitton did was it was motivational, and it just didn't work. You got to be able to back that up, and it just didn't happen. So I don't know. It's interesting that we're even having this conversation because we've been pretty spoiled by this Packers team for the past few years, and you know now that it is for what it is, we've got a lot to talk about the next few weeks.
Well, I got a couple of more questions for you, and we got to start being a little mindful of time. If we lose this Sunday, a week from today, against Atlanta at home at Lambeau Field, then we are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. Say after that game, Aaron Rodgers 100% to come back. Playing or sitting?
I think he comes back.
When there's nothing left to play for, playoff wise.
I think you come back and you play for your pride. You play for your manhood at that point. I think you got to play him.
Okay.
That's the bottom line.
I think that would be. I think the bottom line for me would be maybe play him and then let Tolzien play second half then or something like that. Or I would be fine with just Tolzien starting all three games. To see if we have a bona fide backup quarterback already on the roster, because if we don't, we need to spend a first, second, or third round pick on a quarterback. Why? Because we can't keep trying to hit on these undrafted free agents, particularly a quarterback. If you want a good, solid, instant backup quarterback out of college, you're going to have to pay for it with a high round draft. And if Scott Tolzien is not the answer at quarterback, we need to spend the first, second, or third round pick on one, whether there's an all-pro 10-year safety sitting there or, an all-pro, Gordon from Wisconsin sitting out there. I don't know how high he would go, but you know what I'm saying. If there's a player, another position, and Tolzien's not the answer, we're going to have to pass on those guys. We got to get a backup quarterback, and you can see why now.
Yeah, and it won't surprise me either way if the Packers pick a quarterback in the first three or four rounds. It won't surprise me at all because they have to be seeing this the same way we are, you know, that they've got a one-man team there, and they need someone who can step in and win a game or two. And they don't have that currently on the roster. So I think that there's a good chance that Thompson's sitting in his office right now looking at some of the quarterbacks that might be available in that third round, you know. Wouldn't surprise me at all
always,
to see him pick one.
Yeah, I mean, he's always looking at the ticker tape, you know, seeing what's out there,
absolutely.
Too.
I think, you know, I think Thompson is a really good personnel guy. I just think he's whipped on some really big picks. You know,
I am not calling for his head at all. Let that record be known. And Ted Thompson, I still trust. And Mike McCarthy, I'm wavering a little bit. Give me one more bad year like this, and I would just soon see him get out the door. Mike Sherman was shown the door, and he had a 70% winning percentage. I think a Super Bowl win buys you an extra year or so, but at the end of the day, you got to make a tough decision, and that's one that it will take Ted Thompson a long time to make. He was once quoted as saying, "I hope I don't ever have to replace my head coach while I'm GM of the Packers." So give me your final thoughts in 30 seconds, Kevin. We're winding down under a minute now.
Well, all I'm going to say is that if we don't have Aaron Rodgers next week to take on who are we playing next week? Atlanta. If we can't beat Atlanta, which is to me one of the worst teams in the NFL right now, then it really is a lost season, and we may have to go to your plan and just start totally for the rest of the year. But I think Rodgers comes back. I think the Packers win, and I think that the season carries on for another week. That's my thought.
All right. Well, we would like to thank you for listening to the LombardiAv.com, the sports panel show here on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to catch us again Tuesday morning at 8:30 for another edition of the show. where we will be discussing everything Green Bay Packers. Until then, for Kevin Gibson and our producer, Ray Rivard, I am your host, Davey Miller. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.